Can't wait for the concert, right? All right, so this session is a 200-level session. We'll walk you through how to build a unified view using SharePoint Search, and we'll keep it extremely interactive. We have more than 10 demos throughout the presentation. We'll leave 15 minutes at the end for Q&A, and you ask a question, you get a free T-shirt. So strong incentive to ask questions.
It's a wide room, but we'll throw them at you. Might not be able to reach there. That was a good one, but no, you have to ask a good question.
Good point. So what is a unified view? I mean, the definition is known. You know, it's bringing any data source, data types together, regardless of where the information resides. And it's things like bridging cloud application and on-prem application. Things like integrating data silos about a customer, whether it's CRM or contract management, et cetera. It's also correlating information, structured and unstructured, right? Whether it's email documents and structured records about these documents. And the business goal of a unified view is to enable the ease of access for that call center rep, for example, of any information related to that customer. So from an architecture standpoint, you know, you're going to see this theme throughout the presentation of SharePoint as the search development platform. So we're very excited about the SharePoint 13 release because just like Fast for SharePoint did in a previous release, really enables the development of powerful business application on top of the search platform. That's what Fast was all about. It's not native in SharePoint 13. And if you think of a unified view and look at the architecture of it, there's two layers. There's a data layer, and there is a presentation layer. And it's pretty fundamental to the way you architect a unified view, because on the IT side, you're building a shared service. It's data as a service. You're indexing information securely. You're federating sources of information. While at the same time, you can have a business analyst design a whole set of dynamic views on top of the data, and even not have to worry about how and when the information is getting to the universal index that's being set up. So we see literally the development process happen in parallel, where people are designing UIs and different search interfaces while IT is worried about and thinking about how to build that shared data service. So there's a fundamental construct of creating a unified view, and as we walk you through, you'll see the separation of these two layers.
Let me ask you guys two questions. Who's been to a search session so far at SPC? Cool, because there's a lot of them. There's 17 in this, so that's very exciting. And secondly, who here has created what you'd consider to be a universal view with search? Well, we hope by the end of this session, the question was, well, maybe, depending on what you mean. By the end of the session, I think that you'll get a sense. But yes, it means search from lots of different systems, from what everything you need, all together.
And you're getting a T-shirt, too.
All right.
All right.
Oh, well. Need rubber bands.
So my name is Guy Mounier. I'm the founder and CEO of BA Insight. And really, just a little bit of background. I mean, I have Oracle, SAP background. Interestingly enough, you know, I fell into the search world and SharePoint world, working on a custom integration project in a big Fortune 100 company. And the creation of the company was to, and still is, to set out to productize integration, to create software that can connect to backend systems, the cloud, et cetera, without having to write code, right? And that's what the company is about.
And I'm Jeff Fried. I'm a, like Guy, in love with search, longstanding search nerd through several companies, including working at Fast and then Microsoft. So it's particularly cool to see this SharePoint 2013 release. And I share with Guy also a bad throwing arm for T-shirts.
So let's give you a preview of one example of a unified view. So this is an example of a product company selling gears called Total View. And this is a search. I'll just rerun it. You know, it was pre-run on Axlip Gear. And so here's the start of the definition of a unified view is. The information that we're pulling in this environment is the information in SharePoint, some of the documentations, the email records. And these actually come from Exchange, as well as Salesforce CRM records, right? And so when you browse through, great. All right, let's see this. Okay, here it is. So when you browse through the left-hand side, you notice a whole set of metadata that made it to the top. Now, it looks pretty simple, but surfacing information about the customer across email and Salesforce and documents is a lot of work. Customer information may not be a property of a document, so you need to have auto-classification technology or any of the extraction type routines to attach a customer ID to that document. The same with email. You may need to link the email ID to that customer account so that when you look in the customer information and decide to, let's say, drill down in this particular customer, all the information, both email, Salesforce, and documents, come back. You have other facets and other ways to filter the information. You have the ability to review some of this information quickly. So that's just a brief example of that. And if I decide to drill down into other data types, and this particular customer doesn't have a whole bunch of emails, but if I drill down into, let's say, email information as such, I can review some of the email records that I have about this customer. And these are private emails. The emails in my mailbox can also be a support mailbox. As long as you have a secure access to it, you'll see it. And with search, the traditional thinking is 10 blue links, right? But you can actually create rich search-driven dynamic dashboards that are powered by search but look more like a dashboard that you would traditionally see in BI. So for example, here, there's this link at the bottom that is a 360 view of all the information you have about this particular product, right? And the presentation, now you still have the filtering capability. You can go and filter on a document, but you have the documents, the emails. These are content queries. They're search queries that essentially go against the index and displays the documents, displays the emails, summarizes some of the invoicing records, or lists some of the sales opportunity information that comes back from Salesforce. So all this is completely dynamic. If I decide to drill down into a specific customer, the email, the documents, the sales records will refresh based on the information that I selected.
So would you consider this a unified view?
I would consider this a unified view.
You get a t-shirt. Yes. The question is, in the example just shown, this showed security trimmed email, they're trimmed through the entitlements that are within Exchange for you, but it's done through your authentication in SharePoint. We'll talk about that a little bit more, about how it all works.
So Jeff, do you want to present
the
outline?
We're going to be talking really about three parts. G- he just showed you a great example of what a unified view looks like. And we've been doing this for a while. Actually, for me, this is a 10-year journey. It's incredibly powerful. So we'll spend a little bit of time on the why. But the problem is how a unified view helps. And then, if you recall, there's really two layers here, a data layer and a presentation layer, and we'll show you the how and how to accomplish this with SharePoint, both with SharePoint 2013, which we're really excited about, but also with SharePoint 2010.
So, you know, what drives the requirement for unified view? I mean, you've heard of big data, right? Information explosion. It's not just about that. It's also about the fragmentation of the data. Many enterprises' information about their customers, I mentioned earlier, is fragmented across many sources. And it's also about the diversity of the requirement. Right? Indexing customer data into a universal index is great, but customer service will want a different slice, different view of that versus sales versus marketing. So thinking of these contexts, devices that people use, roles and tasks is important in supporting all these diverse types of UIs that you need to support off of the universal index. And so,
question?
Absolutely. So actions is in essence an extension of your data. And so in the context, and you'll see some of the real world examples that we'll show you, a lot of these actions show up in a context of the piece of information you're looking at. And to your point, you can check out a document. In some instances when we do parts finder in the world of manufacturing, you immediately see if the item is in inventory, the information has been indexed and refreshed near real time, and you can requisition the item if it actually sits in inventory.
Yes. So in case you didn't hear the question, the first is, what about actions? We talked about roles and views. And then where do things get managed? The search-based unified index, basically the master copy always lives wherever it lives. And your actions on it live in that repository. It might be SAP, it might be LiveLink, it might be SharePoint.
Almost. Getting good.
Let's keep going.
So creating a unified view applies, as I described, many scenarios. I mean, these are just examples that we see out there. These are very common scenarios. They're horizontal scenarios that cut across different industries. Research portal, expertise finder, content-driven expertise finders, not just finding people, but finding someone based on what they've published or emailed or billed a customer. Customer 360, asset tracker, parts finder, analyst workbench. So you can see many different types of views that can be built on top of a unified index. And so with that, we're going to show you another demo, actually, of how we do unified view at BA Insight.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. This is a little bit more prosaic. It's an everyday example. We're a Microsoft partner, and about 70 people, not that huge. And even at that scale, we suffer from information silos. This is our intranet, which runs on Office 365, and I guess no longer from Microsoft, so I can say that I love Office 365, but the findability is poor. If I'm trying to find something about Office 365, what I get is search served from there with only content from there. But I also, as a developer, I live in TFS, Team Foundation Studios, and that has its own instance of search, which is unintegrated. So now I have to go to two places to find out information, except it gets worse because many of our information, a lot of our public-facing information, is on our blog, which is Do More With Search. So if I want to find out more information about how to bridge across unified information with Office 365, now I'm in three places. And same thing, we have a website, we have a special site now for search in 2013. So I'm quickly up to five places that are unintegrated in order to get a search experience. In order to create a unified view, in this case, all we did was index across all of those things. We're bringing in content securely and at high performance, normalizing the metadata, and I get something like this, where I'm now looking across multiple locations. I don't know if you can see this, but the content source here might be our blog, this is Exchange Online, private email boxes, or TFS. Or if I go to more content, you'll see that I have more content from file shares, from, actually we ended up with, even at our size, four SharePoint instances and four different mini farms, which is a fabulous governance experience. But every one of these things is there for a reason. So in order to see across it with one search and one experience, we're basically indexing that, normalizing the metadata. Things like author might seem easy, but it's usually wrong because it's usually whoever wrote the template. 90% of the PowerPoints in our company were written by one person, Rebecca, who's amazingly prolific. Or in this case, using a entity extraction to determine the company. So this is not that deep in many ways, but it is an everyday thing that I use to get the job done by providing a unified view across actually seven different places, including file shares, including we have Salesforce, etc. And that gives you another sense of a unified view. This is quite achievable.
Thank you, Jeff. So we're going to switch to real-world customer examples. In fact, I'll show two of them. And I'll start with customer service, the scenario I presented earlier. So in a traditional call center environment, I don't know if some of you have experienced it, but the reps go through a lot of interfaces to answer questions. Right, so this particular example talks about CRM, CMS, the knowledge base. That's very common. We have customers where the reps literally have to jump through 26 different screens to know what the customer actually bought from them. So that results in pretty long time to answer any kind of customer inquiry. And the result, as you can imagine, is one, it's not very productive. And two, it creates a lot of frustration for the customer. So thinking of search as the integration layer across these sources and the creation of a unified view speeds up significantly that experience. And that's the ROI. So let me go ahead and show you an example of that. Can you switch to number two? Thank you. So I'm going to rerun that query, but let's say I'm looking for information about a customer, Joe. This view is just to show you what a typical search result looks like. You know, so you create a unified view, you have a universal index, you know, out of the box in FAST for SharePoint or SharePoint Search 13. You get, you know, the traditional unified view of information coming from all sorts of places and a list. Now, if you design that experience to the call center experience, you can start creating some pretty interesting views. So for example, start thinking about what's important to display about the customer information. And, you know, we talked about actions, and I'll show some deeper and deeper actions as we go through the presentation, but show me the cases, show me the contacts, show me some of the alerts. There could be actions that could go back to some of the backend systems. In fact, in some of the applications that we have, you know, this is very much the case. If I click on that customer view, what happens? Well, I want to learn a little bit more about that customer. I want to know the products. I want to know the invoicing status. Here's another search result. These various web parts are search parts that are running another query against the detail profile of that customer. These gets configured like Bing or Google search queries.
There's no hardwired links here. It's all straight dynamic data.
Any of the information is previewable. So my entire experience is happening in a browser in HTML5. In fact, it could happen on a tablet or a smartphone as well. Any of the items is previewable, whether it's in an invoice or the case information. Now understand, this information comes from a place like SAP or Clarify or other CRM systems. Sometimes they are 3 or 4 different CRM systems support that single customer that can all be merged into a single list of customer cases, right? And it can get fancier on top of that and start aggregating information and show charts. So if the list of invoices is very long, start aggregating the data, the search result list, and show various charts. So that's an example of a search-driven dashboard. And as you go through some of the other slices of information, you can focus on the orders that Joe purchased. So you can create lists and detail of the invoices. You can focus on the cases. This is a different tab because I have the query there. You know, the product search is also something very commonly requested, and so that's one of the items that we have here in this demo. Let me switch to a separate world, the world of law firms. Attorneys, it's like professional services firms. They deal with clients all the time. They have to answer customer questions. So we have this fictitious law firm called Do We Find. And researching on a matter, Albert Gore, which is a client of this firm, and we have all the information returned from that law firm. So the document management system they use is Hummingbird. They archive emails in LegalKey, they have live email in Exchange, invoicing systems, etc. Right? So you have the ability to drill down in a whole set of sources. We also have metadata that comes from third-party information services like LexisNexis and WestKM. In financial services, it would be called Bloomberg Services. In medical research, it's called Medline or the Patent Office, right? And the idea of tying these information services is to give you an enrichment of the context of your information. So you see all these things here in the result. At this level, like the citations, are all things that have been linked at index time against this document. So it gives you the context of this document, of external opinions that other judges have produced about this particular matter, and you can actually click to that source to view what the judge said about the subject. In this context, of course, you know you can go ahead and filter. So for example, on a filter on a specific matter, all the filters get added, and I can filter by source. The concept of dashboard appears here as well. The matter number, which is the way they track specific engagement with a client, is being tracked, and if I click on it, I get to a search-driven dashboard that's going to display all the information about the matter, Bush versus Gore. Once again, a completely search-driven experience. I have all the documents, all the invoices, all the communications, both archived and live, not just for me, but for my team as well. presented in this result, and it's all dynamic. So if I review it, I'm talking about some of the actions. Actually, I meant to preview it, sorry. I can preview some of the information. If I see something of interest, I can actually bookmark it, right? And the bookmark behavior is that it simply remembers some of the information you're trying to gather about the matter. You can look up invoices and do the same thing, right? You can look up emails and do the same thing, right? And this concept here of workspace is, as I go through and research a matter to be able to answer questions for my client, and I have 10 minutes before that phone call, all the information, whether it's documents, emails, or invoicing questions that customers do ask their lawyers, can be answered right there, because I've pre-gathered all the information.
I think you had a question. How do you know the information is not old, which in the search world is called freshness? It's a matter of how often you crawl and what that crawl freshness is. So this is not, it's sort of a, not a copy, but a pointer to the original information. It could be a minute old. But in most of the instantiations of this, and we as a company do this for a living, it's rarely more than a couple minutes old, and that tends to be plenty for people.
And if when, I'm, yeah, that definitely deserves a t-shirt, and I'll have another angle on the question, Jeff, actually, is that what if I don't want to see the old stuff, right? Well, that's where the filters come in, right? I haven't used any of these filters, but I can say, show me all the information for the past 6 months. And when I do that, every search part in this view is being filtered. I'm seeing the last 6 months worth of invoices, of documents, and of email communication, right? So you can imagine how dynamically, whether it's structured or unstructured data, I'm drilling down into this view. And in some ways, you know, it's a BI concept, but with the exception that I'm dealing with keyword search as well as filters, and I'm dealing with structured and unstructured data. So it's a pretty powerful concept.
When you actually go to act on things, you're always acting on the definitive copy, which is not out of date.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question?
The question is, how do you do this? How do you define the metadata? How do you set the filters up? And I'm going to show you that a little bit further. So I'll hold the t-shirt because we have five left. But you'll get one in the end. Right. So the comment or question is, feels like the heavy lifting here is in creating associations, what we call a data set connector, to go determine that this person is that. And in the legal demo you saw, looking up this jurisdiction to this judge, et cetera, is done by people who have a huge amount of information about relatively clean data. LexisNexis, WestKM do this for a living. In the call center example, it's done by a fuzzy lookup against your customer database. But I'll talk more about that as well.
There's one more question.
I'm sorry, can you shout? Yes. So the question is, in the legal world, you're often doing something and you have a bulk export need to go create a big work case. And search engines are bad at that. They're good at returning the top 10. They're bad at returning 10 million. So what's the limit? And practically, it's about 1,000. If you need to go beyond that, then it becomes a batch job where you're getting some and some others. It no longer becomes instantaneous.
Okay.
The question is, on the legal example, we showed entity extraction for citations, and how was that displayed? That in 2010 is custom XSLT. In 2013, it uses a thing called a result template, which is defined really just using XML and JavaScript, HTML. One more question. So the question is, the thing I talked about before, where you're finding a person, how do you normalize that fuzzy lookup? Tell me more. Hold that question.
Okay. So this slide, simply to say that what you saw in the demo is being used and deployed in many, many law firms. So it's a real world example. And we have other patterns, of course. I mean, we talk about law firms. I don't know how many, if anyone here is from a law firm, but obviously, these patterns, these application patterns, really cut across industries. I mean, the vernacular, their definition becomes very specific to your job. I mentioned that earlier, your job, your role, the context of the work. And these are just examples of applications. And I'll just actually have larger screenshots, you know, show you some of these examples without spending too much time on it. We don't have a demo for everything. But here is an example of a view for customer service. Here is an example of view for sales, actually off the same data, completely different view. The view for legal you saw already. This is a research portal for large pharma customer. This is an intelligence dashboard. So with that, let's talk about how this stuff gets built.
Sure, good. So, and I'm going to speed up a little bit because we have actually a fair amount of material about the how. At a high level, remember, we're going to be talking about two parts of the how. One's about the data, one's about the presentation. And there's a variety of techniques, but there are four main techniques used in data preparation. These correspond, you'll be amazed to learn that these correspond to products that BA Insight has, but We'll be talking about indexing. How do you gather information into a common index, but also a technique called federation. What happens when you can't do that? You have subscription information. We'll be talking about auto-classification, which is a way to generate metadata, and entity extraction and relationships, which is where the fuzzy lookup comes in. I'll show you those things, and then we'll shift gears at the end to talk about the presentation layer. How can you create these views less painfully than 17 layers of custom XSLT? So let's start with the data layer. And I'll be talking about two techniques, indexing and federation. Anybody here go to the crawling session for search this afternoon? Okay, so forgive me if this is pretty basic, but these are basic, you know, search, if you will, 101. But what indexing does is bring back from a source system content that then fits into typically an on-premise farm. And it has a lot of advantages. You can normalize the metadata, you can do these relationship and entity extraction as you're indexing, no matter where it comes from. You can control the relevance, the order things come back in, and the refiners very tightly. And you can be sure that things return quickly. So a unified index is the number one way to get this unified view. The issue with it is that it takes footprint and it takes time. So for example, if you were trying to provide web input from Google along with your internal results, you can see that you're not going to replicate you know, whatever, a million servers, you just will not ever index that. And that's a case for federation, where you're sending queries, it's sort of like a scatter-gather. I've got a question, I'm gonna go back to several search engines, bring the answers back, and mix them together. And that often sounds like it's a panacea. It's great, I don't have to do anything to my source systems, et cetera. But it is, you know, it's lower bandwidth. Crawls can take a lot of bandwidth because you're essentially moving the documents over some wire somewhere. And if those systems are up in the cloud, it's moving across your perimeter. Federation only moves the queries and the top results. You don't have to store an index. And sometimes, like the example that I just had, you can't do otherwise. And there are other cases, for example, working in the legal domain with LexisNexis, they don't want people to crawl all their content. You can only get at it a dip at a time through a query. In general, though, if you can index, you should. Because federation is only as good as the weakest link. It's only as fast as the slowest system. It's only as relevant as the least relevant system. The metadata is only as good as the worst metadata of the back-end systems. And the load on the back-end system, with crawling you can control pretty well. It's really, what you want to do is get information out as quickly as possible while staying at a light touch. With federation, you have to be quick, and you cannot control what that bandwidth or what that load is. So typically, federation puts a much higher load on a back-end system. You wouldn't want to federate to, you know, a transaction system or a SAP system, for example. So those are the two things. Let me go a little bit deeper about indexing and federation. Indexing, just to cover it at a pretty basic level, can be done against anything. If it's got bits, you can index it. You need to be secure. So there's different systems, databases have named users. It's a different security model than SharePoint. Exchange is a different security model than SharePoint. But you still need to keep that security. So that's one of the key tricks in indexing. You need to be able to map things, because each system has its own schema. And you need to be able to feed the search engine at pretty high speed. If you had 10 million items to index, and you could index at 10 documents per second, which is a pretty good rate for a single node, it will take 3 months to do that. So the question about freshness is very apropos to that. You don't want things that are 3 months out of date. We're often able to index at 100, 200 documents per second on what's called the full crawl, and then after that, incrementals are much lighter weight. So that the speed is very, very important. So is the security, so is the mapping.
And incremental can only be a refresh of the security information, for example, and not pull the entire document back.
So if you're a longstanding search nerd like me, this is like, oh yes, of course, indexing does this, but I wanted to go over it because it's pretty fundamental. And it's also hard for the reasons listed on this chart, because things are heterogeneous. In SharePoint 2013, this is a little bit easier because there's a claims provider capability, and you can map different security providers together using claims. But it's still hard. And this balance between high throughput crawling and light touch on the system is also hard. The big thing, though, is this is often not just one system. Almost all the examples Guy showed were north of six systems. We have a call center customer who has 17 production systems that everybody goes to all the time. And they all have different security models, and they all have their own characteristics of footprint, et cetera. So this is kind of hard. Let me show you in the small sort of what it looks like. If you remember, this is just our own internal system, pretty simple. And if you recall, I'm getting information from several different places. Or I'll just go after everything for a second. So I have things from really 6 or 7 different places here that you see showing up in this content source refiner. What does it look like behind that? If you go into central administration, this is 2010, and specifically into search administration, these crawls are bread and butter. So you can see that things are online, you can see the topology, but then if I want to look at the content sources, I'm seeing really a content source and a crawl for each of these sources. Now, the search engine, 2010 or 2013, comes with built-in connectors. And so, for example, a file share is a built-in connector, or the SharePoint connector is a built-in connector. But there's more than 2,000 production systems that you might want to crawl, and Microsoft doesn't try to cover all of those. The top, really, 6 connectors come with a product, and everything else is left to partners like ourselves. In this case, it's relatively simple. It is Exchange Online, SharePoint Online. And what we do administratively is to have you not have to think that these are different. If you have our SAP connector, it just looks like another source as far as SharePoint is concerned. It's one administrative interface. But behind that, there are these, there's another console that has, in this case, private email and SharePoint Online, which can't otherwise be crawled. And I can look at those, I can create content, I can add metadata, I can do the extraction processing there. I can also test it. One of the tricky things with search is that you often don't know whether you're mapping things right, et cetera. So it's handy to be able to try it before you put it in the index, because it's actually pretty hard to get it out of the index. And this is just, this is kind of a, definitely a Geek Squad interface. You can also export this and see.
I think we're having an error here.
Yeah, this is bad. This is our instance from SharePoint Online. It's not working.
I know we have
that's a handy thing to have. So you get a sense of the way that these connectors look and the way that you can use them in crawling to create a unified unified index. These 5 boxes that I show here are part of the, if you will, the special things you have to pay attention to in these kind of indexing connectors. Another question?
So I was just looking at these connectors you were showing us, your guys' supply.
Yes.
To build these connectors to these other sources.
Correct, exactly. So the BA Insight creates products that make search from Microsoft better. And one of our main products is this suite of connectors that do these kind of systems. We're up to about 40 systems now that are available as products. And if you have a very simple, if you have a database or a custom system with a straight schema and not particularly complex security, I would say you don't need us. Go do something and using BCS. It's not hard to make a simple BCS connector, but if you have a sophisticated production system, these things are hard. Question? The question is, what do you do about versioned documents? Do you index all versions? Do you index the most recent 3 versions and get rid of the 4th? Do you only index the most recent one? Yep. So that's a setting. You can determine for a given content source whether you keep versions or not. It is pretty rare to have an application that requires multiple versions back a long way. And if you do keep versions, then you use what's called a deduplication feature in order to show that there's one thing, but there's five versions behind it. So we've talked about indexing. I'm going to shift gears for a second to talk about federation. Remember, this is the scatter-gather approach in order to bring things together. Anybody here have more than one search engine at their company? The average for a company over 1,000 employees is 7. And I've been at places that have many search engines, either because of organizational boundaries or sometimes there's export restrictions. You literally are not allowed to take content out of the country at a given security level. So you don't want to index it across country boundaries. And this technique is pretty powerful. I'll show you with 2013, has some now federation built into it. Anyone go to the hybrid session this morning? And one of the great things about that is that the security, cross-farm security, especially for Office 365 and on-prem, is now well-oiled. There's good guidance, there's good tools, and we use that. So with 2010, we don't federate to SharePoint Online. With 2013, we do. But there are reasons to use partner products in this. One reason is that you're working across versions or mixed farms. Often people don't bring all these farms up at the same time to the same version. Or they may have, you know, in this case, SharePoint 2010, Fast ESP, Fast Search for SharePoint, and 2013. And this scenario of using federation allows you to take a farm up quickly and still keep the search that you may have spent some time tuning going. Let me show you what that looks like. This is a 2013 search center, and it's federating out to 2013 and Fast Search for SharePoint. So if I do a search, what I see is content with hover panel, etc., and it's coming from both the local SharePoint 2013 farm and a remote Fast Search 2010 farm. It's mixed together, so these refiners with counts are added together or concatenated if you don't have the same value. The 2013 out of the box experience is driven by the local refiners. And if you click on a given source, you're only sending the query there. So this is essentially a created refiner to go to a particular source. There's also little things like you may or may not know that to get every all content is a star, you know, asterisk in SharePoint search, but a pound in Fast Search, et cetera, et cetera. So we're translating the query syntax across these different backends because there is no standard query syntax. You can't send a Google appliance the same thing you do a SharePoint search and expect it to return results. So that's what federation does. What this looks like under the hood is what's called an SSA, a search service application. So it's as far as the rest of the stack is concerned, this is 2013 search. We're just fooling it under the hood. So this is called, we have clever naming conventions. This federator is called the federator. The Longitude Federator, that's our brand name. And if I go into that administratively as an SSA, I have various properties. I can set a timeout. If some backend doesn't respond within a given time, you don't want to wait. So, you know, you throw an error. I can set particular backends. In this case, I've got a number of different backends for federation registered so that you can work against all of these, and you can control which one goes with which query. So this isn't something that allows you to make uniform metadata on all content the way that you can with indexing, but it's a very, very useful technique, both for the cross-version scenario that I talked about, where you just have different things in different places, and also for going across the cloud and on-prem. So this is a pretty common scenario, especially with 2013 coming up. How many people here are using SharePoint Online or plan to in the next year? So it's a handful. We're in this situation. We're a heavy user of SharePoint Online. We don't control when we change to SharePoint 2013 in the cloud. And the hooks in the product only go to the same version. So this is a facility that lets you stay 2010 on-prem, 2013 in the cloud, and see the results either place, however you like, or often both, so that you go to a given search center and you see a unified view using this technique of federation. I'm going to give you one more view of this technique. The tricky thing, remember, in indexing is security, speed, metadata, light touch. The tricky thing in federation is backend integration, low latency, and interleaving of results. You've got different animals, and you want to provide a good, tight relevance experience, and that's really part of the magic sauce in our Longitude Federator product. Okay. Talked about now the data layer. That's about all I'm going to say before changing gears to the presentation layer. Any specific questions before we change? There's still four t-shirts left, because you get one at the end. Okay, great.
Oh, right there.
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, there's many reasons that you might want to use fast search, in particular in building applications. But to do this unified view of bringing things together into one index, you can do this with SharePoint search.
Yeah.
So we've talked about, you get a t-shirt anyway, he throws. Oh, much better. So we've talked about the data layer. I didn't talk too much about entity extraction or fuzzy search. This is where I meant to answer a question earlier about how do you do this lookup. This is a technique where during the indexing process, entity extraction basically says, look at this document, find the words in it, and match it to either closed or open vocabulary things. The fuzzy lookup says, I have now recognized that this is, for example, a employee. There has to be some master of employee ID, but we're simply doing an association while we're indexing, going off to the side and saying, oh, this is Joe Schultz, but it may not be spelled the same way, and that gives a normalization of who that person is. Or here's a product name. Or, you know, sometimes you don't even need fuzzy. If you have a file system, there's no place to put metadata. So people often put that in an associated database, but then you want to crawl those together. So whenever I'm crawling the file, bring the metadata and vice versa. Did that answer your question from earlier? Great, people are nodding. So I'm going to talk not about everything at the presentation layer, but about two specific things. One is a literal presentation around, if you remember, he showed you these dynamic search-driven panes. How do you do that? The other is action. How do you take action on things in this kind of workspace? And this is a paradigm that I think we're all familiar with, the basic idea that these patterns come up and they're all search-driven experience. And the reason that we're familiar with it is because it's happening in the consumer experience. I no longer, well, 5 years ago, I stopped using Google or Bing to do a restaurant reservation because it doesn't give me a tailored experience to finding the right restaurant, and it doesn't let me to reserve online. Instead, Zagat has something that does that. It does give you a particular tailored topic, a 360 or a unified view, widgets that may matter to you, like a map and ratings, relevance to that role, and some feedback from that. So this is a unified view. It's also what I call a search-based application. And I have, just in my phone, I bookmarked 12 of these that I use almost every day. I don't eat out every night, but this is a very familiar thing. And there's two keys. One is the data, the other is the presentation. And the presentation is often laid out in this way: what do I want to show where? And you can think of these as wireframes that you then compose. I'll give you a view of that. Just a quick, if you will, before and after view. This is one of the reasons that we tend to use FAST rather than SharePoint 2010, is that the counts, these deep refiners, help in presentation a lot. If you have counts, you can make a chart, you can make a dashboard. If you don't, then you're sort of guessing. So this is sort of an out-of-the-box result set. Very easy to do, and I always advise people to start out of the box, but it's actually not so easy to navigate, even though we've already done the data preparation. This is really the same thing, but now with some pretty simple additional panes provided. I've got some sparkline graphs. Again, the numbers help. All right, this is a, keep forgetting. These are actually not refiners. They're based as concept. We're taking the statistics from each document and putting together. I can look directly in things. I have an ability to search really within the refiners, because when you start using this metadata, you often find that you don't get the five things that you can look at out of the box. You get 1,000 different authors. So being able to search within that matters. Same thing with these graphs and charts, et cetera. And these controls we're used to now on the web. But it's pretty hard to do that in out of the box search. You have to stand on your left foot, lick your elbow, no XSLT, JavaScript, HTML, and it's hard enough to be good at user experience design and think about how people want to interact. But now you also have a fairly difficult dev experience. It's much better in 2013, but even there, there's a lot of things that you can do better. Now these things are just web parts. So you can conceptually think this is your wireframe. I'm configuring them. In this case, I've got two refiners. These can be on the same content. You can do different control on the same thing. And I'm configuring them simply by using XML. I'm binding a property to a type of widget. It can be a map, can be a sparkline, can be a pie chart, all those things. Giving it a few parameters, I can put a base search in, that it's partial search, a contained search within it, etc. And I'm dealing with panels. So some of the dashboards where there's a panel on top and things on two sides, that's just three panels. This is built using a BA Insight product we call imaginatively search parts. So it's specifically designed to make composing these things easy. Now, anything we can use from the underlying out-of-the-box search, we want to. But this kind of experience where I have different things showing up on the screen, often in multiple drill-down experiences, takes some work. And the basic idea is to go from there to here should be within the realm of a business analyst. It should not require someone that's a deep developer. And that's the whole idea of search parts, is to be able to drop these tiles in, tell it what the presentation is, use CSS to style it the way any web designer does, and go. Same thing, and if you're using 2013, there's some much nicer facilities for this. There's a query builder, there's result sources, there's some very nice things, and we leverage that too. But the basic idea is to be able to go from almost nothing to a good experience quickly. The quicker you can put it in people's hands, the better, and then you'll learn from how they're using it. That experience, just to remind you, has these two layers. It has the data layer. We've talked about indexing, federation, classification. These are all VA Insight products. And it has the presentation layer, where again, we've talked about search parts and a product called Longitude Search, which contains, among other things, that workspace that Guy showed you before, from going through and tagging content that maybe from anywhere, might be in PDF and an email, and I'm exporting it, maybe a large export, bulk, maybe small, but I'm also able to create a new document on the fly. In the legal domain, anybody here a lawyer? Okay, so we can now tell lawyer jokes. legal domain, they have these things called briefs. I don't know why they're called briefs, because they're often 100 pages or more. And creating them.
They charge per word, too.
Yes, especially as law firms start going into fixed price, no longer T&M. The ability to create a brief by stealing from other things is very, very useful. So the way I think about our workspace is that it makes plagiarism easy.
So I'm just going to conclude, and we're going to open the floor for questions. What drives the demand for Unified View are two things: big data and consumerization of IT. Jeff actually alluded to the second. Explosion of information, fragmentation of info, and a consumerization of IT. I mean, you saw the Zagat example, right? I mean, you're accustomed to it on consumer side, searching for travel, restaurants, and the end users expect the same experience within the enterprise, except that they're searching for customer data, parts and inventory. So that's redefining the way you need to present information to your end user. So we hope we achieved the objective of convincing you that search is much more than 10 blue links. It's actually a very powerful, cost-effective way of integrating information. You can build some high-impact business applications with it. And on that note, we're going to open up the floor for questions. Pay attention to this URL. If you want to learn more about SharePoint Search 2013, we have a 100-page ebook that is pretty in-depth about what's happening in SharePoint 13 search.
Don't be scared of it being a 100-page ebook. My wife often, I wrote a book about enterprise search for 2010, and my wife often goes, "Oh, I can't sleep tonight, honey. Can I read your book?" We learned from that, and these are all pretty bite-sized chunks. So
it's 100 pages.
It's 100 pages. Yeah.
That's our version of
the
brief.
This is the 2013 version. Yeah, this is our brief.
So any other questions? We have three more T-shirts.
Actually, two, because I promised you after I answered your question.
Okay, it looks like we covered a lot of questions already.
Yes, another question? Yes, you do.
You did ask a question.
I was afraid of throwing it that far.
Why don't you so come close out. To the stage?
Any other questions? Yes. So the question is, you talked very briefly about classification and any extraction. Where does that go, and are you able to put it in the index? And the answer is yes. The basic point is that we're adding that as crawled properties, hence managed properties, that then create metadata. So if you, usually metadata sucks. So especially if it's a file system, but almost any system. And just applying this gives you consistent metadata, if not perfect. It'll never be perfect because all data is dirty. Did that answer your question? Now the question is, can I use this for other purposes? And I'm going to use this as an excuse to show a demo that I forgot, which is has nothing to do with it. But the answer to the question of can I use that basically text analytics metadata elsewhere is it depends. In at least our products, you can classify what's called in place. So if you have a SharePoint library and you want to run the auto classifier, it puts it in a column. It's defined by the term store. And voila, you have metadata that you can use to create, you know, content organizer rules, to do organization, and to do analytics on. And then you can also see it and modify it. If it's Documentum, we also allow you to classify in place. Any other system, many of these systems don't have a place to put the data. So it only is in the search index. This is a demo that I forgot that's also search parts that is basically using this created metadata and sort of concepts we bring from it to do sort of a search as you type. This is hard to do out of the box with search because it requires rapid response, and we're actually sending queries all the time, but not asking for results. We're just asking for counts and looking for changes in order to get this kind of responsiveness to go through. So it's a weak excuse for doing a demo I forgot. Any other questions?
Come and claim your t-shirt.